Jackson. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to stand and preach tonight, teach, however you want to look at it. But it's always a joy. And I appreciate this opportunity and don't take it lightly. And Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8, we'll read just a verse and then we'll get in, look at several different verses, but we'll just read one verse. And Acts chapter number 8, when you get there, you'll say amen. I'm still thankful for what the Lord done here on Sunday. And I like seeing young folks get saved, but when somebody gets of that age and they God softens that heart. It's amazing to see it happen. And I was standing back there in the back, and his wife standing over there praising the Lord for her husband. And it was amazing. I'm thankful that God still saves old sinners. Amen. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 26. We'll just read this one verse. When you're there, say amen. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Let us pray. Father, we love you tonight. God, we thank you for this place that we have to come and to worship. God, may you forever bless it. God, we thank you for the men of God and our pastor and God, Brother Mike, and God, as they lead us, God, we pray you would give them guidance and leadership. God, we pray tonight as we, this people, come together, God, that you would bless the reading of your word and bless your people. God, don't let us say anything that we don't need to, but all things that you'd have us to here tonight. For we love you and we thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Here, as we look at this in particular passage of Scripture, this one verse, there's a phrase that or a word that I want us to kind of focus in on, and we'll examine several different verses here in this text. But there at the end, that word desert. And I want to talk to you about this thought tonight, some things that you'll find in a desert. I believe that if we all look at ourselves and we examine our life in the past, that there's been a time and there's been a place in our life where we've went through a desert place in our life, where we went through a hard time and we went through a dry time. And we see that there's a character here by the name of Philip, and things was going pretty good for Philip. Philip was seeing God work and seeing God move, and God comes to him through the angel and sends Philip in a different direction and sends him to a different place. And Philip's a man that was full of faith and the Bible says full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm thankful for men of God in my life that's full of the Holy Ghost. And they don't just have to be preachers to be full of the Holy Ghost. Laymen can be full of the Holy Ghost, and we need some daddies and some granddaddies to be filled with the Spirit of God and to be Spirit-filled in our day and hour. And Philip was that man. And it rubbed off on his children. He had some daughters, and the Bible says that they were full of the Spirit. They were full of the Holy Spirit of God. And Philip loved, he had charity in his life. And Philip, he loved people. He loved God's people. And I don't understand how people in our day and hour can make it without God's people, without the family of God, without a church. I don't know how people can, but Philip loved them, and I'm one of those. I love God's people, and I want to see God's people thrive, and I want to see them do great things. And Philip not only had that, but he had compassion. He went to a place and he left something good, and he went to where nobody else would go. He had compassion on those people. And so not only compassion, but Philip had a commission. He'd done what God told him to do. And I don't know about you, but I know about me that a lot of times that's the hardest thing for me to do is what God wants me to do, because I got a lot of flesh in me still, and I want to do what Philip wants to do instead of what God wants to do a lot of times. But Philip done that, and he goes down to this desert place. And we find what a desert place is. Some of you may have been, and some of you may be trying to build a vacation home there. I don't know, but not many people want to go to a desert. And we see that a desert, it's a hard place to be. The pressure when you get in that desert, when you get in that dry time, the pressure's up and the heat's rising and it feels like everything's crashing in on you. So it's a hard place and it's a hot place, but it's a hazardous place. Lots of things die in the desert. There's not, when you go to the desert, there's not a lot of life there. You don't see fruit trees growing in the desert. You don't see vegetable gardens in the desert. You see a lot of lifeless area when you go to a desert. We've all been there in our Christian life. It's a hazardous place, but it can be a humbling place. We can get there, and a lot of times God has to get us alone in a particular place in our life before He can do something with us. Before He can get us to go to that place that He wants us to go. Whether it be just growing in our walk with Him. Whether it be us getting closer to Him. And I believe we can all agree that's something that we all could do. But it's a humbling place to be in the desert. It's not somewhere that we all want to be. Being in the desert can be a holy place, though. There's a lot of good things that can take place in the desert. We see that in the desert, Israel ate manna in the desert. We see in Isaiah 35 that one day roses is going to bloom in the desert. We see that God has been a highway in the desert for His children. We see that God will put streams in the desert one day. God led His people through it. He didn't leave them in it, but He led them through the desert. We see that Jesus healed people in the desert. We see that Jesus fed them in the desert. We know that Moses was spoke to by God in the desert. It was a hot, hard place to be, but God spoke to Moses there. And we see that Jesus preached there, and Jesus taught His disciples how they could have rest in the desert. There's a lot of bad things about the desert, but there's a lot of good things about the desert. And God comes to Philip here, and He sends him down to that desert, and there's a few things here in these next few verses that I believe that we can glean from and we can get something out of. Number one, I want you to notice this, that you will find lost sinners in the desert. Here in verse number 27, the Bible says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, but he didn't know how. And he comes, and when we're in our desert place, God, I believe in this. I believe in divine appointments. I believe that God will put us right where we need to be for what or who we need to be there for. And the amazing thing is, a lot of times that what or who is us. But He'll put us there and allow us to come in contact with somebody that is looking and is seeking and is searching for something to fill a void inside of them. We see it every day, everywhere we go. There are people that are struggling and they are searching for something to fill that void on the inside of them. We think about the story of Zacchaeus there in Luke 19, where Zacchaeus is he's searching for something. He's trying to fill that void with money, and it don't happen for him. But he finds Jesus there in his place. There's a secure sinners. Those lost sinners, they can be secure. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 8, verse number 36, "For what profit is a man to gain the whole world but yet lose his own soul?" There's sinners there, but they can be secured through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lost sinners in the desert. And they're seeking sinners. We see, man, I work in Atlanta, was there all night last night, and my goodness, the things that you see up there. If you ever want to see a bunch of crazy people, just get inside 285, you can see all you want. Seeking sinners. But then, I want you to notice this. Look in verse number 29. Verse number 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." I'd like to say that we can find the Spirit of God in our desert. When it feels like it's all falling apart and we're all out there alone and it's just us, the Spirit of God will move in. The Spirit of God can move upon us and upon that situation. And He can alter it, He can change it, and He can do things that nobody else can. Let me give you just a few things about this Spirit of God. He is God, I do believe that. And I believe He's a He. Not a it, He's a He. Amen? And He's omnipresent, He's omniscient, He's sovereign. He was part of the creation of this world. He had hand in writing the Word of God that we hold in our hand. I believe He was the one that through the Holy Spirit of God spoke to those men that penned the words of this Bible that we hold. He helps us recognize the glory of God. He speaks to us. He searches for us. He loves us. The Holy Spirit of God, He can be grieved if we're not very careful. He makes the presence of Jesus known. Isn't it amazing, man, when we come in to worship and it's just everything just lines up and there's times where people are where it's a high service and people are shouting and raising their hands and there's hooping and hollering. Then there's times that it's real soft and it's real quiet. There's a lot of weeping going on. There's different ways, but man, when you look around, you can tell that the presence of God is here through the moving of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful that He still does that in our day and hour. He gives us a biblical understanding. People say, well, I just can't understand the King James. And I'll hit on this in a little bit here in a little bit. But I'll say this, that it's amazing that those men that didn't have very much education could understand what the King James would say. And you say, well, how'd they do it? It's through the help of the Holy Spirit of God. He can help you if you'll just do it. When I was, I have a little bit of Bible college. I know it don't look like it, but I went to Bible college. This is what they told me. They said, you need to spend 95% of your study time in prayer and 5% actually studying. I said, now, wait a minute, fellas. Y'all don't understand who y'all dealing with. They said the more time, and the meaning behind it is the more time that you spend alone with God, the more time that you spend in prayer, the more you can understand. And I know that I can read it and God will show me something and you can read it and God will show you something. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit showing you what you need for that day in your life. So we see that He gives us that and He calls us and He empowers us. But He helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit is there to help us to pray. And this is the same Spirit that's been here since the beginning of time. This is the same Spirit that talks about over in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. This is the same Spirit of God. They talk about there's a new grace, there's a new this and the new that in churches today. There's not a new Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's the same one that's always been. We can find the Spirit in our desert place, the Holy Spirit of God. Notice this in verse number 32. The place of the Scriptures which he read. And he quotes Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 7. In our desert, we can find the Word of God. We can find the Scriptures when we're in our desert place. I was dealing with a man, it's been 4 or 5 years ago, and he was telling me, he said, I just can't find nothing to help me out. I can't do nothing. I said, why don't you read God's Word? Because whatever situation we're in, there's some Bible for it. Amen. And we can find the Scriptures in our desert. It's a standing Word. Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 8, Bible says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever. And when it stands, it is a firm Word. It's not, the Word of God is not there for us to bend and to alter to whatever flavor we want it to be. It's God's Word. Somebody told me a few years ago that they believed it, God said it, and that settled it. I said, that's hogwash. God said it, and it don't really matter if you believe it or not, but that settles it. God's Word is firm. It is there. And it's not made to be to fit our lifestyle. Our lifestyle, it should be made to fit God's Word. It's set, the Word of God has its own set of standards. And so many times today in our society, people want to take it and take it out of context. And they want to pull this little piece out, that little piece out, and put them together and mess it all up. God don't need our help in His Word. It's for us to just live by. It's a settled Word. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. If it's settled in heaven, it ought to be settled on earth. And it ought to be settled in our hearts. Why did God give Moses the Ten Commandments on those stone tablets? Because He didn't intend for it to be changed. They want to change it, and they want to alter it, and they want to take this out of it and that out of it. And here's the thing, Brother Mike, if I get out of line, I want you to correct me now, okay? I'm all right here. People say, well, I have a problem reading it because of the these and the thous. Now, I want to go on record and say that these, I've read some of these modern translations. Y'all don't crucify me and tar and feather me. I've read some of them because I want to see what they're about. It ain't about much. It ain't about nothing. And the terminology in there, yes, it is a lot more of how we talk today. I understand that. But the problem that most people have with God's Word ain't got nothing to do with the these and the thous. What they got a problem with is the God of the Bible. That's where the problem lies. And it's our job to line up with Him, not Him to line up with us. There is power in His Word. I'll just go on record and say I'm not going to crawl through a septic tank to get a biscuit, and I like to eat. Amen? God's got something for us here in His Word. And when we're going through a hard time, we need to turn to His Word. Isn't it amazing? And I'm going on record saying this because I've been there myself. When we go through those hard times and the pressure's on and it gets hot, so many times we go the other way. We won't turn to His Word. We turn to our own understanding instead of turning to Him and looking to His Word because He's got the answers. We just got to look for them and allow the Holy Spirit to help us. Then I want you to notice this, verse number 37. You'll find salvation in the desert. God will save you in a hard time. And a lot of times God has to get people to that place before He can save them. A lot of times He's got to get them to that place because until we get lost, we can't get saved. And here in verse number 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'd like to say that there's a simplicity to salvation. My goodness, there's a lot of places and a lot of churches and a lot of preachers that make it so hard for somebody to get saved nowadays. I don't even know how they got saved. It's not hard. He said, come as that, like a child, having that childlike faith. It's simple. Just believe. He said, if thou believe, just like a child. We want to make it complicated and we want to make it hard. I've heard testimony, Brother Mike's given his testimony. He just asked the Lord, Lord, will you have me? We don't have to remember what we said. I was 6 years old when the Lord saved me. I promise you, I can't remember what I said 30 minutes ago, much less what I said that long ago, 31 years ago. I can't remember those words. I went to the place the other day, though, and I knew where it was at. I've got a place, and if we got a place, we're going to be all right if we can go back to that place. Once in a while, we must take the devil back to that place. There's a simplicity. It's simple. There's a ceiling to salvation. We're saved to the uttermost. Hebrews chapter number 7, verse number 25. That uttermost means that they ain't nothing, and I know ain't a good word, but y'all just have to bear with me. All right, I'll get an English lesson on the way home. But we're saved to the uttermost, and there is absolutely nothing that needs to be added to or taken away from salvation. It's simple. And once we get it, we have it. There's nothing that you or I can do to lose it, because if we could, we'd have lost it 30 minutes after we got it. I can't get it for myself. You can't get it for you. We just got to let Him do the getting and the giving. Salvation is given to us at its fullest through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by grace, through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, and that's it. It's by grace, through faith. We can find salvation in the desert. If you're there, hey, it's Wednesday night, but I'll go on record and say that there's a lot of church members that's lost. A lot of church members got religion instead of salvation. And you can find that in the desert. And there's serenity in salvation. Man, there's a peace. I asked when Carson got saved, I said, he's one of those, he's an overthinker. And I give him off to our pastor at that time. I said, you talk to him. I said, he's about to make my head explode. I've answered every one of these questions 10 times, and he's still asking the same question. I can't satisfy him. He said, he got it. I said, well, son, tell me this. First question, if you died right now, where are you going to spend it? He said, I'm going to heaven, Daddy. Of course, that popped a happy bubble. And I said, well, how do you feel? He said, Daddy, I've never felt this good. We're talking about, at that time, he was 7 years old, and he ain't got no pressure on him, but he knew that he was lost and on his way to hell. He said, I ain't never felt this good. There's peace in salvation. And we can know that we know that we know that we're saved. Amen. Now, Coy, we still wondering if he got it all or not. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Little fella come in, all smiles and tears. He said, Daddy, I got saved. I said, praise the Lord. We talked and talked and talked. I said, now, Corey, you sure you got it? Oh, I want to make sure he got it. He's one of them that we need to make sure he gets it. Amen. We don't need to miss. I was hoping he'd let me baptize him. I was going to make sure. I was going to pick him up with his ankles. But his pawpaw baptized him, so he didn't do nothing like that to him. Salvation. There's peace in salvation. Then notice verse number 39 says, and when they were come up out of the water, after being saved, I believe it's biblical to be baptized. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. There'll be supernatural experiences in your desert place. There'll be things happen that when you come out of it, you'll be sitting there and somebody say, well, what happened? I don't know. I can't explain it. There'll be things happen to us when God gets us in a certain place to where it's just us and Him that we can't explain because it's mind-boggling at the things that I have not seen, neither ear heard the things of God that He can do. It's mind-blowing at what He can do. Let me ask you this. Do you remember a time in your life when you prayed through? I remember as a young preacher, Brother Jamie, and I wanted what them old men of God had. And I still want what them old men of God had. Are you an old man of God yet? No, I'm just kidding. But there was nights that I would lay in my floor and I would pray and I'd say, God, I want what they got because they had something special. I'm not saying that God moved in person, but I'm saying that there was a time when I feel like that I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and when it got to the place where I didn't know what else to say, we just kept going. And we crossed over into a different place. And there was things happened that I cannot explain to you that happened in that place. It was amazing. And we all need to experience that. When we got saved, I can explain. No, we can't explain us getting saved because it was a supernatural experience the day we got born again. Days that God have moved on the scene. There's no explanation why things happen except God. Supernatural experiences will happen in a hard, dark place. It'll be unexpected. But I don't want to leave us there. Lastly, the last part of that verse says, and he went on his way rejoicing. Joy overflowing. He was joyful. And he wasn't being quiet. And I know not everybody shouts. Not everybody's loud. But shouting can bring walls down, as we see in the book of Joshua. There's things that go on around us. And when we're in that desert place and it's hard and it's hot and it's uncomfortable, there's times that we must raise our hands and shout so that those walls around us can fall. Shouting can defeat the enemy. We look at 1 Samuel and those Philistines, it confused them. It put them in a place to where they could be defeated when they heard the shout of God's people. We as the church, I believe, have quietened our shout because we forgot about those supernatural experiences. God's done some great things for us and we went silent. We went through some things in the last few years that has quietened down the people of God because we've been afraid, which is understandable. But look, we on this side. And it'll be okay when we're coming out of our desert, when we've been through those hard, dark times, if we just shout a little bit. And shouting will exalt our Savior. There's a shout in our desert. The hardest times of my life was the hardest times for me to shout. I was raised in a shouting Baptist church. I was raised where folks stand up and raise their hand, holler amen while the singing's going on. Man, I still get excited. It does something to me when I see God's people worshiping. But there's been times in my life where I couldn't and wanted to. I'm talking about wanted to bad and couldn't. But you go in those desert places, and we can still shout to let Him know that we still love Him. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. God, we pray that You would bless us. And God, may we be encouraged that when we go through that desert time, that there's some good things that we can get out of it. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Mike.